Mr. Hunter, Reel 4. Now, you were talking about when you moved up to point 112, or rather, the frontline units did, and you were driving up for them, and your friend Adamson had been killed. You were talking about how tired you got. What was it like at that period, just the driving?
It was the, well, your driving was practically your mates, wasn't it? All the thing you covered at the back was the lorry in front of you. It had a light on the differential, small light, that you could follow, you know. It was so nice, you know. And there was somebody with us, but usually a corporal that was sergeant, you know, with you.
The co-driver.
Co-driver, sorry, that's right.
You said you got very tired.
You did that. Oh, well, I mean, you know, sleep like that, you know, in front of me. You're lucky if you've got a nice sleep and, you know, all the time that you've gone up to the times, you know.
Now, did you see anything of the fighting on point 112, or would that be away from you?
Well, it was a wee bit further up, you know, once the tanks went in touch and you never seen them, you know. But we did see one thing. It was the Kapiki Aerodrome. You never heard of that. Well, all the tanks were back and the lorries were behind them. And apparently one of the tanks had they set a shot off restarted, you know.
Had what?
It said that, you know, it's when the guns went off accidentally and they went up the behind of this other tank, and that caused a smoke screen, you know. And as soon as that started, these guns from the Kapiki Aerodrome started to, 88 millimeters actually, started to fire. And I had all my stuff off my lorry at a particular time because we had trouble with the charger, and we were charging our batteries. And I said, well, the noise should be turning any further. So I transferred on my lorry all my stuff onto the water truck, which he was going away first, you know. And this Major Lethal called up. Major Lethal said, no, Major Grant, he was in charge of the whole echelon, A Warga called up. And he shouts to this sergeant, I'm going away back to find a safer place for you. And I say to myself, I'm going to fall ahead because I'd all my stuff on the water truck, and the water truck was falling in. So I says, right, I'll put my stuff on your truck, he's a corporal. So we followed him a wee back to, actually, the touch and go where the Germans were going to get through, you know. And we stayed there.
Did you come under German shellfire while you were retreating with Grant?
That's right, we did.
How did you take to it? I mean, some people find the first time under fire.
It was just a reaction. You had to just get down on the ground or get into a sweat pants, you know. And then when we got down near the beaches again, you know, because the Germans were. They were advancing on, but apparently they got stopped and that finished it there. But that was it. And then, about a week after it, all your tanks were in, it's probably mentioned at Randall.
Now, this would be the start of Operation Goodwood on the 18th. That's right, that was a week later, yes.
Right. Well, we were on our way up to them. You know, and it was at night, and the German planes came across, because all the tanks were sheltering where the gliders were, the gliders that came in from the beaches, like, you know, and it was the airborne, you know, and it was like that for the nations. All they were dropping cylinders all over that particular area, and there's a lot of the second regiment was killed, and there was one of the officers, Lieutenant Matheson, his name was. He was killed there. And there was a chap called James Crispy, he was a sergeant. He was killed. He's from Kirkcaldy.
Now, where were you during this air raid?
We were static. Away from where we were on our way up, and the slowed us down, you know, to see what was going to happen. And we didn't get there at all. Good for us. However, I said, and then this, who was the other one there? But one of your lorries, drivers got wounded. Forget his name, but he was a Yorkshireman. And what else did that happen?
Now, that was after the big battle on the 18th, when the regiment was almost wiped out. I mean, tank wise, not that's people. That's now, did they you
were,
you
they
didn't?
Were, they were sheltering from the, you know, sort of a leaguer, you know, and they were actually we were going up to fill them up with petrol and ammunition. And this is what happened: the Germans came across and got at this. Leaguer, you know, with tanks and everything, and they were scattered all over near the gliders.
Now, how did you react to all the casualties that had been suffered in that day's fighting? I mean, did it affect you much? Because, you know, when the news came through.
It did affect us. We said, oh, God, there's so and so at me, and, you know, you felt. One of the guys, he ran back to the beaches again. he was shell shocked. And I think he landed back in Blighty again because they must have put a tickle on him and got rid of him. You know. He was a Kirkcaldy boy, but he's dead. Died about, let's see, 5 years ago. And that quite indeed. But that Kirkcaldy mate of mine, Buck Payton, he was with us too. And we dug a slip trench, you know, we had a slip trench and stayed there for quite a long time. What you know when to move off, and then I think we came back again. Then where did they go after that?
They were at Ardenne Abbey for a while.
Ardenne Abbey.
And then they started this move round on Caumont and through St Martin de Bessas and you know round to Amiens, a sort of dash through to Amiens and Falaise Gap.
Did we not go through the what do you call it? Where all the apples were. Oh. There was a great foliage for tanks and a great foliage for 88mm guns knocking them out. Jerry had them all planted all over the place. He used that gun as an artillery thing. And then I think it was Rommel decided that he would bring it to level. And that's how he was knocking all the tanks out, all the Sherman tanks. As soon as 188mm gun hit that top of that turret, that tank, it was completely off altogether. So it was, and some of them, I know one guy, Sergeant Warren, his name was, and he got hit, but he kept on firing with, you know, with his gun, and it must have been inside, it all went on fire, and all his face was burned in a brand, and after I came back for the services like that, I met this guy, and he was in Kirkcaldy working. He comes from St Andrews. But he was a right, what would you say, dedicated yeoman man, you know, a soldier. But he said that, he said, oh, it was terrible. Some of the buttons in his face and that, he got glass and that, you know, at that place in Edinburgh. And he wasn't very happy about it. But however, yeah, they had that nature that he could live through it, you know, so he had to soldier on.
Now, what's the next thing you remember? You'd be going forward to meet the lagers every night. That's now, we've right. discussed that. That's a matter of route. Would that change, or was that routine?
Well, that was routine. That was just like a Red Indian thing, you know, that they went around in a circle and otherwise if it was daylight, the camouflage was, you know,
Now, what's the next thing you remember then? The move through France.
That's right. The move to, let me see now. I think it was through Belgium, went to Antwerp.
So you don't remember anything else about France?
No, I don't. Oh, gosh, what's the name of that?
There was a dash to Amiens.
That's right. Near the Tunis Gap, there was an area there, as I told you, that the Gellies had been planted.
Was it Veer or Messer?
Veer, that's right.
What do you remember about Veer?
Well, that, I know what actually was in it, but there was a lot of these places that some of the Normandy boys went back to. Actually, they invited them back to, for a monument, you know, to get put off of the guys in this Lund Armour Division, so they were invited back.
Now, at one point they did a sort of overnight dash to Amiens, where they sort of went hundred miles. Do you remember, and there were some supply problems there. Do you remember anything about that from the supply point of view?
Well, we overrun the supply lines, you see, so you just had to hold for a wee while until they got to re-finished again, and we're better on ammunition.
And do you remember anything of that dash to Amiens?
No, I don't remember that, no.
So the next thing you remember is going into Belgium.
That's right.
And what do you remember of that?
Well, we went up to a place called St. Nicholas. Does that mean mentioned St. Nicholas?
I don't know that one. Tell us about it.
Well, went there and we stayed there for 2 days, I think, you know. What they've got under the door, just replacing and checking up if they needed tanks, you know, from the forward delivery squadron, which supplied the tanks to them. Like, and they said, oh, I want a couple of Shermans up here. And these came up to the place and went to the doctor. That's all I remember about that. But, and then the Antwerp do I think they moved across to Antwerp, I'm sure they did.
Okay, what do you remember of that?
Well, I remember being at a place called Boom, B-O-O-M, and all the lorries were there, and all the tanks were in Antwerp, doing the stuff there. And I remember the cops at the middle of Antwerp, and the Jerry had a great big headquarters there, you know, where all the big shots were found in this particular area, and they surrounded that and took them prisoner like them. But across the side of the Scheldt, the Germans were still firing across that.
Now, how did you get on with the French and Belgian civilians?
The French were quite, well, I would say the French were, they were quite good, but the Belgians were good, they were good. But the Dutch were the best of lot, I would say.
In what way?
They were more the, sociable and that, you know, they would invite you into the houses and everything, and they made you at home, you know. But,
now, what did you you mentioned Major Grant? What did you think of Major Grant?
He was a good soldier. I could tell you. He was a territorial. Actually, he lived up in Dundee, and he was a stockbroker. And I used to meet him at the dinners often, you know. And I used to always remind him about this particular. And he got away from the subject altogether, so I never approached it again. I said, I'll keep clear of that.
Was he popular?
Was he was popular, right? He was well liked. And actually, they used to call him, well, he had a wee caravan thing, you know. And I think he must have thought he was going with his second hand mark. And he was in this caravan, and he did all the thing about the Eichwald, the A1 Eichwald, or the Eichwald, whatever you say it was.
Whatever, yeah, I don't listen. So he controlled the whole of the A and B Eichwald.
That's right, and then there was Harry Melville, he was the guy that took bodies up, and he read the maps and that, you know, to where we were going, you know. He was good. He was a really good officer.
Now, what's the next thing you remember then after Antwerp and Boone?
Well, I think we moved up in Dortmund then. We're at Helmand. We stayed there for a wee while.
What do you remember of Helmand?
It was quite a nice place, and actually I got very friendly with this butcher's business. And this guy from Preston and I used to go there every night. And this Dutch people, oh, they were very kind to us, and we went down in the line. We were up from the front line, we went down, you know, at night. And they wind in down us all night, and it was really good. And we did a wee bark. And then a wee bark, he was going to get ambushed with planes. Because all the Dutch, it was a place called Deurne, D-E-U-R-N-E. And all the people were going into these shelters. And so we followed them in, you know, for protection in case there was any shrapnel that was going to hit us, you know. And then we got back again, but we were static. All the Hertogenbosch, no Hertogenbosch, then low, right along that particular area. And the Americans were there too. And apparently the Jerry had got through in that particular place with it, and they had to send some British troops up to sort of stem it, you know. But we stayed there until, it was March.
I think you went to Ypres.
That's when we went to Ypres.
I think you went to Ypres in December, and then you left Ypres in March. If that, according to the book, that's all.
We left it in December again because the Jerry's had broke through it to...
Now, the first time you went to Ypres was just for a couple of weeks in December, and they handed in the Shermans.
The Shermans at Brussels before they came down.
And is there anything about Ypres the first time, or that you remember?
We got there, and we were doing a lot of training and that on these Comet tanks. Not me, because we were lorries and that, and then I think Montgomery came up and presented medals to some of the officers who had did well, you know.
What do you remember of that?
Well, I just think that we were all lined up, you know, that all the different squadron was there, and A, B, and C. What was it? I was inspected there. Brigadier Harvey to start with. And then I think Montgomery came in the scene. He inspected the whole lot, you know. And then after that.
Did he make a speech or what?
He did, but the speech is in that, I'm sure it's in that book.
What did you think of Montgomery?
Well, he was a good man. He used stuff, I think, anyway.
And then there was this business with the German breakthrough in the Ardennes in December, January. What do you remember of that? Because as a transport, were you involved much?
That's right. We were actually in a small way involved. We went up to Namur, a place called Namur, and we were round about there most of the time. And we got all the stories about how the Germans got through, but just as Americans, and they got across this bridge, and actually that was very messy at that particular time, and that helped them to advance with the tanks too, you know. However, the mist lifted, and then with the, what do you call it, what was the name of the plane? And not the tanks came across and saved the day. And
Allied plane, Typhoons or something.
Typhoon, that's right.
And you were just at Namur for most of that. Namur, sorry.
That's right. We were waiting there just in case that your plans had to move forward, you know. And then after that,
you went back to Ypres, I think.
I went back to Ypres. And,
did you enjoy your time at Ypres?
The people were good, you know. And they were very friendly and that to us. We were stationed in the, I was stationed in the French couple. When they were, I would say they were in the 70s.
French or Belgian?
Belgian. Oh no. They were French. This old guy was a tailor. He was always sewing every time we went in. An old lady, she was a general lady. And I remember this Scotch, he was with me, and when we went home at night, there was always egg chips for us, laid out for us, you know. And that went on for quite a good time, and then they said that I think it was either that or
what did you think of the Comets? I know you didn't drive them, but they're your tank, you know. What did you think of them?
Well, they're good down speed-wise, you know. They were good for what they were going to use them for the advance through Germany and so forth.
What did the lads think of their gun and armour?
Well, they were quite happy with that.
Was it seen as being better than the Sherman?
Well, I think so. I think they were faster. Sherman was a good tank, and that was 75mm, it was good on it, but as I say, they're plenty of supplies on it, because the Americans produced them. As soon as one was knocked out, another one came in its place. It was like Skitalally. One knocked out, the other came back. Of course, they had to reserve all the, if any of the tanks were, the crew was knocked out, they had to replenish with fresh crew, you know.
Now the next thing is that they advanced to the Rhine and then, well, the Rhine crossing really, and the move into Germany.
We crossed at the, I think it was, where's some a place called WSER. And I remember that was a lot. I could laugh myself at this.
Tell us about that.
This particular guy, he came from Aberdeen and he was called Timmy. And I don't know what happened, but we were in the middle of the bridge going across.
What type of bridge was it?
It was a Bailey bridge, this is what you've seen there.
Not a pontoon bridge, then?
A pontoon, Bailey, that's right, there were Bailey.
Did it move when you went across it, or was it a steady one?
It was pretty static, and the engineers made a good job of it, you know. And I was laughing there.
What happened then?
We got stuck in the middle, and I says, he was driving. I says, what went wrong? So he got out and pumped about with the carburetor and everything. And then it just dawned on me that the petrol catch had been changed two tanks on each side. So I had to get out and switch it across to the other tank to get us going. And when we got across the other side, and I'm looking up, and he sees this big German tank facing down to us, you know. But luckily enough, it had been knocked out. I was saying the prayers, I'll tell you. It was brought up there, and I don't know what happened after that, but just kept moving on, you know, through Germany.
What was the state of the countryside? I mean, had it been badly smashed up?
No, these particular bits, there were shells and that falling on these towns and that, you know.
What about the German population? How did you get on with them?
Oh, well, we got orders not to fraternize with them. So
what did you think of that?
Well, I thought it was a wee bit silly in a way, because they, you know, when I talk to anybody, their troops did the same with the French and the Americans and the Dutch, you know. In fact, so that most of them are into what you call it, the Belgian camps and so forth. I think we're using that, you know.
Now, do you remember, you were still doing the same job, basically?
I was still on that job all the time.
So we don't need keep going back to that. Now, any incidents during the next bit then? They advanced, well, into Germany.
Aye, well, I showed you that photograph of the flags hanging, surrender flags, you know.
Is that the next thing you remember? What about the chase to Lübeck? You went down, they went down. What do you remember of that?
Well, it was pretty, actually, it was mostly at night that we travelled up, you know. And I can always remember before Lübeck was Belsen.
What do you remember of that?
Oh, I took a sore throat. And the doctor, Emma, was sending me back to Osnabrück. You know, for recuperation, you know, and it must have been that it's a flu or maybe Germans or something. And apparently, this Kramer, he was in charge of the Belsen camp, and he wanted the British troops to bypass it. I don't know what his reason was for, maybe just to cover up a lot of things that they wasn't wanting to see. And then the next thing we heard that they got rid of him and they got him out and they got the RSC up with the diggers and everything.
Now, hang on, what's this got to do with the sore throat? Is that when you heard about that?
That's when I heard about that.
But you didn't see Belsen?
I've seen it a wee bit. I've seen the most time that the, you know, the worm thing and all the poor souls, you know. But, medical camp, and I said to myself, well, look, if I'm going to be staying here, I'm going to be missing the regiment again. So after I got better, I says, this Royal Army Service guy, I says, he going up to the night, up to the line like that? He says, I'm going with you. So I was lucky, I got off as far as the regiment. And I got back in my lorry again, which was a, wasn't the same lorry, it was a QM's lorry for supplying, you know, tank packs and so forth. But on that, and that was a...
Did that change what you were doing much?
That changed me from the ammunition to petrol to, you know, food and supplies and that, cigarettes and so forth that they wanted.
But the job was the same. You still
same supply, that's right. And I remember having this quartermaster on me.
Which one was it?
I couldn't say the name.
Was it the officer?
No.
Quartermaster sergeant.
He was a quartermaster, that's right. And actually, the guy before him, he got knocked out in a place called SQMS. Blakey's name, he came from Dunfermline, and apparently had been in the Navy in the First World War, and he had taken the wrong, he had read the wrong map anyway, and they landed and they got knocked out with his bazookas, German, big rat things. Oh yeah.